This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is Tighten Up by Archie Bell and the Drells from Houston, Texas. A little Houston music with the Grizzlies in Houston. And also send it out to the Grizzlies if I need to tighten up their performance if they want to get to 2-0.
All right, well, let's start with Houston. They lose their opener, kind of lose to Charlotte in their opener. And LaMelo kind of went off on that one. They were out-rebounded, although Sengun had a nice game. They have got like a million talented young folks, like Jalen Green and Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson and Reed Shepard and Cam Whitmore. And then of course, old friends Dylan, Fred VanVleet, Steve Adams isn't playing. What do you make of where Houston is? I know you're reasonably high on them relative to consensus.
Yeah, they've got a lot of talent. I think they're one of the deeper teams in the league, but and these things are, they're A, they're young, B, the pecking order is unclear, and related to that, there's no individual like all NBA level player, at least not yet. Like, is Fred VanVleet sort of a borderline all-star kind of guy? Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun are maybe guys who are at that level, approaching that level. Maybe they'll get to an all-NBA level. But there's no clear all-NBA guy. There's no clear pecking order among the depth. And they're young. So that's a lot of stuff to manage and sort of, you know, over the course of a season. I've got them for, you know, the higher.
Jeffrey, we're having a little bit of a problem with Chris. I think he's making his way back to Memphis for the home opener, and maybe he's somewhere in Iowa and is struggling with cell reception. That's a possibility. So we're going to try Chris again. Home opener, obviously, tomorrow. They got Houston tonight, and then Orlando in for the home opener tomorrow. So we will hope to be rejoined by Chris. It was interesting. They won 11. Chris rejoins us. Where are you, Chris? You're making your way back to Memphis? Are you in Iowa somewhere?
Yeah, I'm somewhere in Iowa. I don't even know where. Somewhere in southern Iowa.
Somewhere in southern Iowa. So anyway, so that's a lot to deal with for a team to sort out all that sort of talent. Who is the alpha on that team?
Well, pedigree-wise, it's Fred VanVleet. He's the point guard. He's the most decorated player on the team. Contract-wise, it's Alperen Sengun, who just signed the big right. deal, and then Jalen Green, a slightly smaller deal. And so it's sort of those three guys. There's no one guy. It's those three guys. I think Jalen Green probably thinks it's him, you know? But it's sort of those three. The real answer is that it's Ime Udoka. It's the head coach.
Right.
It's one of these teams that the alpha is the head coach, and sort of for him to manage that. The guy I like, if I was just drafting from scratch, my first pick up from the Houston Rockets would actually probably be Amen Thompson, who I really like. I think he's one of my favorite non-star players in the league, and I'm not sure he doesn't have the most upside on that team. And so it really could go all kinds of ways.
It's kind of interesting. If you had a dispersal draft of the Rockets, is it at all clear who would be picked first? Not at all. Like, and I mean, someone would be need of whatever who was picking, but I
right.
think that's what would drive it, right? It there could be any of three players, and we haven't even mentioned Jabari Smith, right? Like, I don't know, like, it's really sort of remarkable. And then Jalen Green gets a new contract, and I haven't gotten into the weeds on it, but evidently, the way it's structured suggests that there may be an emphasis on trading him. You know, I literally what I was just reading this morning. It's 3 years, $106 million, player option third year. It's got some whatever. So, you know, there's been this thought that they may be in on some, you know, may want to make a big swing at some point, consolidating all of this. I don't know. Any thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, because of the amount of depth they have, that brings the consolidation sort of issue to the fore. They can't, if all the good players, good young players, look like they're panning out, they can't, they're not going to be able to afford to re-sign them all. It's also a team that seemed a little impatient to get better. I mean, that's the story last summer when they went out and got Fred VanVleet. They got Dylan Brooks. They didn't want to be, like, you know, in a rebuilding situation for 7 years. They wanted to get better now. I think it's an obvious team to sort of decide on two or three guys you're really going to commit to and pair up two or three others and try to go out and make a deal. The question is, are you so desperate to be good that you're willing to do, are you willing to make a trade for someone whose shelf life as an elite player may be short-lived or uncertain? Like, is this a team that's going to try to trade for Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Right. Durant if things go wrong for the Suns, or is it more of a situation, you know, like the Knicks, where you're on the lookout for, like, you know, is Karl Towns available? Is OG Anunoby available? Is Mikal Bridges? Those kind of players have a longer shelf life. That's sort of more the question for them. But I do think that's a team that is likely to be active in terms of just trying to shake up their team over the course of the season.
When the Grizzlies moved off of Steven Adams last year, this is what they expected, right? I mean, who knows whatever broken trust there was from the way things went the previous summer, but they obviously, he was no longer going to be a reliable Steven Adams. He was not going to be the starting center on a reliable starting center on a team, and I think they knew that, yes?
Yeah, what I would say, I think there's two things there. They said publicly, like, we think Steven Adams is going to come back and be good next season. You don't want to say, like, a player's damaged goods, obviously. Even after you trade them, you don't want to say that. And I don't know if that's necessarily what they believed. I think there's two things. I think they were wary of the uncertainty. They didn't want to have, I mean, Steven Adams is making twice the money that Zach Edey is this season. And we see where the reticence around the tax line. So I don't think they wanted to have $12 million committed to a starting center who they weren't certain was going to be able to play, or they just thought there was too much risk relative to the contract, relative to the role, and they didn't think they could afford with that risk given the season they're trying to have. And I do think, and this is entirely unspoken, but I do think that, like, the way the injury stuff and the return from injury stuff went, I do think it got complicated behind the scenes, and that may have damaged some trust there, yeah.
Will not be playing tonight. Left calf strain, which may or may not be related to the right knee injury management, but he is not going to play. Dylan, I think, is probable with a knee thing of his own. The Edey Sengun matchup will certainly be interesting. What do you think? That's a handful.
Yeah, you got a skill versus size thing, you know. These are two guys who could have trouble guarding each other. Of course, you know, Sengun having trouble guarding Edey depends on getting a much better Edey than they got in game one.
Right.
I am more interested, and it's not like a on-court matchup, but I'm more interested in the comparison contrast of Edey and Reed Sheppard in the game. I watched a bit of that Houston-Charlotte game. Yeah. That was the other game that I was flipping between with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Reed Sheppard, because Reed Sheppard also had a disappointing first game. And if you want to be pessimistic about it on both counts, it's the same reason. I think, and I believe in both these players, let me be clear, but I'm just sort of, you know, to be sort of devil's advocate or whatever, rhetorical about it. When you watch Zach Edey, like, summer league's one thing, college is one thing, summer league's one thing, preseason is one thing, real NBA basketball is a different thing. And when you watch Zach Edey in that Jazz game, you came away thinking, okay, wait a minute, is he too slow? Is he, in fact, too slow? And now you wonder about that. With Reed Sheppard, it was, is he, in fact, too small? And when you watched it, when I watched him play in that game, he looked small. And so, you know, are these guys going to be really good, which I think they will be, or are they going to be, you know, Jimmer Fredette and Roy Hibbert? Like, I think watching them in the NBA regular season context brings that stuff back to mind.
Those are, like, the perfect downside comps. Oh, my God.
Right.
Roy Hibbert.
No, but that is the unit. That is the universe of the possible. And Hibbert, by the way, was good before he wasn't. So maybe if you really want a downside guy, you could throw out like Jahlil Okafor or something like that.
Yeah. What else did you observe watching the Rockets? How did they lose that game?
I mean, I watched it early and I watched it late because the end of that game happened to be halftime of the Grizzlies game. So I saw the league pass alert and flipped over in time to see Grant Williams hit a three and like then Charlotte pulled that out. So I didn't see the Charlotte comeback. I saw Amen Thompson do some great stuff early on. And I saw Reed Sheppard looking small, and those were the two main things that I took away from watching the Rockets a little bit.
Yeah, I was just reading about it. They evidently did miss Steven Adams. Their backup center is not did not inspire confidence. Anyway, all right. So you mentioned the Grizzlies should tighten up. What are among the things you would like to see them tighten up, or Grizzlies fans would like to see them tighten up tonight and tomorrow? What do we need to be better? What needs to be better?
I want to see better, either one or the other or both. I want to see better collective performance from Zach Edey and Brandon Clark than you got in the first game. That's the number one thing I would say. And I just think, defensively, and it's related to that, defensively, I think they need to be a little bit better. They were good offensively against the Jazz. They were not good enough defensively. We're still playing without Jaren Jackson and Vince Williams.
That's
a lot of it. But there's also been more focus on the offense in preseason because that's where the change was happening. And I think that they probably put a lot more energy into their offense and thinking about that and working on that in the preseason and sort of are relying on the defense to be good. And the defense wasn't good in that game. And so, there's that. There's also, are they willing to press the pedal down a little bit more in terms of minutes to win the game? I mean, they played Ja and Bane just enough to win against Utah. Is 28 minutes or 27 minutes of those guys are left to win at Houston? I don't know about that.
I guess I don't think they probably should be good. I mean, right now, the only plus defender on that group in the starting lineup is Marcus Smart, right? Like, there's no reason they should be good defensively.
Not if Zach Edey only plays 15 minutes and he's bad defensively in the 15 minutes he plays. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, you'd like to see a better Brandon Clark, certainly. And it is interesting. Do you believe, I was talking to one of my sons about this yesterday, because right now it feels like, with the guys they're missing, of course there are big holes in the lineup. But it is encouraging that down through 10, 11, 12, like you got meaningful contributions way down in the roster. Do you think it is a strength of the team, or do you think it's just a bunch of players had some nice games? Do you think they're particularly good at the end of the bench?
I think the Grizzlies fans and observers who are most pessimistic about the Grizzlies, and I think Keith Parrish's podcast last week, and he and I argued about this a little bit. Uh-huh. I think they're fans on social media I've seen in this regard. I think the Grizzlies fans and observers who are lower on the Grizzlies are underrating the team's depth. I don't think it's a great bench. I don't think it's the bench it was, in the 56-win season 3 years ago. But I think it is, at worst, middle of the pack among contending teams in terms of the quality of their depth. And I think there are fewer, and I haven't really written about this exactly. I didn't quite get around to this specific point, which I'll make. There are fewer, I believe, outright bad players on the roster. If you look at last season, the minutes, I mean, obviously once it fell off the rails, I mean, you're just giving guys off the street. But even with the guys who are more like core guys, there was so much Jacob Gilliard, there's so much Bismack Biyombo, Lottie was bad, Zaire Williams was bad, Tillman is better than he played for the Grizzlies last season, but his offense disappeared, so he was bad, mostly. I think he's a better player than that, he's going to be probably better for Boston. But there was a lot of minutes the Grizzlies, even before we went off the rails, you're playing Timmy Allen or whoever, a lot of minutes went to, like, bad players. And I don't think there's going to be anyone on this 15-man roster who is going to be a worse player this season than David Roddy and Zaire Williams were last season. So I think the depth is decent. Yeah. It's not great, but I think it's decent. And to your point, like, they're missing Jaren. They're missing three, like, 10-man rotation bench players, four guys out. And played an 11-man rotation and won a game on the road.
I think that's all right. I think what I would I think that they're better three play. Their top three players are better than most top three. I think I suspect that the end of their bench is better than most end of the bench. I think the concern about the Grizzlies might be
it's the 4, 5, 6
exactly.
Seven,
it's what you sort of said. Who's their fourth best player? And that is exacerbated when Vince Williams and Luke, who would be in that group. When instead it's Jalen, Wells, whatever. We're not even getting to see who their best 4th, 5 best players are.
Right.
So
it's the middle of the rotation. It's where they're weakest.
Yeah. Yep. And then you look at Denver, and that's just appalling. Denver loses last night, and they've got no depth whatsoever. It really seems egregious what they've done, I'll be honest. They're utter nonchalance.
No.
Go ahead. Oh, we lost them. Iowa can be treacherous, man. It has such a sweet, image to it. Iowa, you got to figure those people are nice. Seems like it would be flat. How could you lose people in Iowa? Iowa, it turns out, can be treacherous. We'll try to bring him in for one more little hit here. Otherwise, we'll let him go. Chris Harrington making his way to Memphis through southern Iowa. The drive from the Twin Cities, which I have done, it's not necessarily a fun one, I'll be honest. So we're trying to get Chris back. If so, whatever. Jeffrey, here we go. Chris, are you there? We'll try.
Yeah, sorry. Hard to time out the segment on driving days.
No,
No,
Iowa is treacherous. Surprisingly treacherous, really. All right, and then
I haven't hit any deer yet, though.
That's good.
So, I've seen a couple on the side of the road.
Oh, you have?
Hitting deer all over the place, I can tell you, in Iowa and Wisconsin. I don't know what's up with that.
The key with the deer is where there's one, there's going to be two or three more, and you got to look out for those. Denver, we were talking about Denver's depth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when I cut off, but, they just won a title 2 years ago. They have all this Walmart money. And they have the best player in the world. And it's not very often. There are 30 teams in the league. Only one player at a time could be the best player in the world. It may only happen to you once ever in 100 years of your franchise.
Right.
It's now or never,
Anything else strike you from last night? We had two more rookies. Saren Carrington combined for 5 points for the Wizards.
That completed. I'd done that in my next day column the day before, but none of the lottery pick rookies had hit double figure scoring, and that has continued. We're still waiting for the first lottery pick rookie to have a double digit scoring night in the NBA.
And then
maybe that's Zach Edey tonight.
Maybe it's Zach Edey tonight. And then Clay, that looked good in game one. 22 points in 26 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't surprise no one that Clay Thompson has a game where he makes 5 or 6 threes. The question is how frequent it's going to happen. And then is it going to happen in the playoffs? That's a big question for, in terms of whether he's going to be able to consistently do that, because I think everyone knows he's not quite the plus defensive player he was in his prime. But, I don't know, man. I think Dallas is just really solid. After Boston, I had them as the 3rd best team in the league record-wise in the regular season. So, to me, Boston and OKC are just transparently, flagrantly obvious really good. But to me, Dallas is the most solid team out there after those two, to me.
All right, drive safe, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You'll be glad to know. So, earlier on the show, Ron Olson walked in here and handed me this bit of news that if you can stand on one leg, if you can't stand on one leg for 30 seconds, you're old. So I tried to do it during the break. And weirdly enough, I can stand on my left foot, which is not the foot I kick with.
Not your dominant.
It is not my dominant, but it is absolutely the one that I am much more stable on. Also, my feet are different sizes. It is the bigger foot, so maybe it's just a better base, right? And that one, I kind of sailed. I got to 35 seconds and I stopped. That one wasn't that hard. I might have had a little wobble. Wasn't hard. The right leg, I got to 35 seconds before I stopped, and I stopped voluntarily. But every second was fraught. I was wobbling. I was back and forth. I was, so I don't know where I stand on that, as it were. But I hope you've been doing this yourselves at home. I was reading actually about it during the break. If you can't do it for 5 seconds, that's real trouble. You know, you may not be able to. And it is very clearly something that as you get older becomes much harder to do. So there you go. We try to cover all kinds of territory here on the Jeff Calkins Show, including making you rich, which is what Jeffrey will endeavor to do next. He has said, I'm going to just warn you here, that he hates the board.
I don't love it.
He doesn't love the options. We love the competitive. We love what's
we love that we have a full day of football.
We have a full day of football and a lot of intriguing football, honestly. There's no game that the universe is going to stop to watch, but a lot of intriguing games, and Jeffrey will take you through them when we return. I will also remind you that new customers over at FanDuel can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on this weekend's NFL games. That's right. If you win a bet on this weekend's NFL games, bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets. I always bet against my Bills. I don't know the line there. They got to travel to Seattle, Jeffrey. Kenneth Walker, I think he's going to have a big game, massive game for Seattle as they defeat the Bills.
Bills minus three.
Oh, my God. You're getting Seattle in the points.
You're getting a field goal?
Take him. Take it. Bet $5 and win, and you get $300 in bonus bets. Over at FanDuel, if you are a new user. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only, $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right. Every Friday, Jeffrey makes me rich. Well, okay. What happens is I go get $1,000 out before the season begins, and I give it to Jeffrey, and I tell him to invest it. It was either NVIDIA or Jeffrey, and I said, let's go Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's got higher ceiling.
For sure.
And so far, that's not been perfect this year.
Jeff, we haven't had to go back to the bank yet this year.
We haven't had to go back to the bank. We're climbing out of whatever little hole we were in. And I think this is going to be a blockbuster weekend. What do we got, Jeffrey?
All right, Jeff, updating the overall season record, 43-44. Currently, Jeff has $510.
It's good. I like having $510.
Correct.
The fact that I started with $1,000 is just a caution. You know, it just sets up.
Jeff,
sets
you can't
it up for
overcome
a big
the odds if you don't fall into a hole.
That's exactly right. What's next? What do we got?
Jeff, let's start with the theme. Pretty much of this weekend is going to be these lines make no sense, so let's go the other way.
Why
tonight.
Why are you doing that?
Boise State goes to UNLV.
Crazy.
Boise State coming off of a bye. Why is this line only 3.5? As Jeff has mentioned, that's 7 straight times. Why? Everyone on the planet is going to be saying, it's Boise, baby. Boise's got Ashton Jenty.
Well, they can't stop Ashton Jenty.
This is the best run defense that they'll play since Oregon.
The UNLV defense started out on a heater. It's been a little bit shakier lately.
I trust Barry Odom to have a better plan than what everybody else is doing. Give me the 3.5 underdogs on Friday nights. They are barking,
baby.
Let
me ask you this.
17-6-1.
Because here's what this is a theory. This is not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. My area of expertise is standing on my left leg for more than 30 seconds.
Correct. To try to see if you're watching.
So but I have never understood if it's obvious that they're handing you money. The line is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They should be favored by more. Has it proven over the years to be winning logic to say
more times than not
bet the other way?
It's proven to not bet with the public, and the public is going to be betting with Boise State.
I just couldn't bring myself to do this. I could not bring myself to.
Well, that's why you're not doing
UNLV
this.
And 3.5. No, that's right.
That's why you're not the financial planner.
Is this going to be the theme? Because it's going to make me deeply uncomfortable.
Jeff, everybody wants to root for Navy.
Oh, okay.
USA, USA. Everybody wants Navy. Not me. This is a different class of athlete. Who's the best team that Navy's played this year?
Memphis.
100%.
Memphis.
And Navy.
In fact, I saw someone making the argument for Navy to the playoff, and they said that Memphis game is looking better and better and better. Because that's it. That's the best
Correct.
Team they played.
That is the best team that they played. This is a different class of athlete. Give me Notre Dame. I'll lay the 13.5. Everybody on the planet's thinking, God, that's so many points with Navy. Navy's going to keep it close. No, they're not.
Okay, this is making me nervous, man. This is Notre Dame minus 13.5. Over Navy.
Jeff, one of the biggest wagons in all of betting this year is Indiana.
Oh, you continue to go against them.
I'm yep. getting the scalp, baby. I don't care. We got Indiana with a backup quarterback. Curtis Rourke is actually a good quarterback. Trace Jackson Davis's brother is not that good of a quarterback. Whoops, there's another turnover. Give me Washington. Give me the 6.
Washington plus 6 over Indiana. All right.
All right, Jeff, let's go to Oxford. Here's one thing that I do know. Oklahoma's offense is absolutely hopeless.
Hopeless.
But Oklahoma's got a pretty good defense. Ole Miss likely to be without Trey Harris, likely to be a little bit clunky on offense because that's what we've seen. We got a point total of 49.5. No chance. The only FBS game for Ole Miss that would have gone over this point total would have been the LSU game, and that game needed 9 points in overtime. Give me the under, 49.5. 50. I got a 50 out of here.
The line is what, 20?
The line's 20.
And if you had to bet the line,
I thought about laying it. I think Ole Miss is kind of in like a get-right spot, but I don't trust them enough right now.
All right, now we go to
Let's go about 90 minutes away from there. Let's go to Starkville, Jeff.
Yep, Mississippi State's been playing better of late.
Been playing better of late. They've covered 3 straight. However, I've looked at Mississippi State's injury report, and it reads like a Faulkner novel.
Mm.
I think Arkansas is kind of in a spot here where Mississippi State's becoming trendier and trendier and trendier. I like the Hogs. I only got to lay a touchdown. I'll lay 7 with Arkansas.
So is Sam Pittman going to keep his job?
As of right now.
And is...
He's got a big 2 weeks.
Is Napier going to keep his job?
He's got a big few weeks. I would bet Pittman has a better chance of keeping his job than...
I think that's right.
...than Napier.
Arkansas minus 7 over Mississippi State. Next.
Jeff, we got a what the bleep game of the year. Number 11, undefeated BYU.
This is like the first one.
Getting 2.5 points at 3-4 UCF. That is the classic. We have a 3-4 team against an undefeated team in week 9 as a 2.5 point favorite.
This is what back to my theory. Why would you not just go ahead and take the money?
We're
going to
take UCF because this makes absolutely no sense. Give me UCF.
This is where I stumble over the logic. But okay, UCF minus 2.5. Next.
Jeff, let's go to the Big 12, where it's basically whose line is it anyway football, where everything's made up and the points don't matter. Baylor hosting Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State getting 6.5. Sure, why not? I'll take 6.5. These two teams are the same.
Oklahoma State plus 6.5 over Baylor. Next.
Jeff, we have reached our SpongeBob SquarePants portion of the segment. We've got Oregon against Illinois. Oregon hosting Illinois. It is a 2:30 Central Time, 12:30 Pacific Daylight Time. Illinois catching 21.5 as an underdog at Illinois. Brett Bielema 16-7 against the spread when he's catching more than 2 touchdowns. A perfect 7-0 against the spread. I know it's trendy. I don't care. Give me Illinois. Give me 21.5.
Illinois plus 21.5 over the Ducks. Next.
Jeff, I am so upset that I've talked so much about Diego Pavia because the entire public mm-hmm. has now realized that Vanderbilt catching points is free money. But I trust my guy. as an underdog the last two seasons.
They played extraordinarily well against good teams.
Diego Pavia, 10-2.
Nothing impressive last week against
the bad team.
But
that's because they were getting ready for this week.
Right, exactly, against good teams. Now, here's the thing. Vandy throws the ball. Texas doesn't allow people to throw the ball.
Vandy throws the ball, kind of. Vandy throws the ball on paper. But it's a lot of short passing, ball control, clock. That's another reason kind of why I like Vandy. I'm getting 18.5, and I'm getting certainly the more fun quarterback.
Give Vandy 18 plus 18.5 over Texas. Next.
Jeff, I think everyone on the planet said let's go to College Station, and we're getting the Tigers with points. I do not want the points. Give me Texas A&M. I'll lay the one. The real reason here is LSU, who has been playing much better as of late, still has not been great in the red zone. They've really not been able to run the football all that well. Texas A&M's defense is still pretty nasty. I think that they can put pressure under Nussmeier.
I think it's the best two quarterbacks in the SEC.
Well, no, Diego.
You're right. You're right. How silly. How silly of
me. How dare
me. You. I think the next two in the mere mortal division.
I think I'm comfortable. I'm more comfortable saying that about Nussmeier. I think
Wegman's been good since he's
been back. I think he's going to ride a roller coaster. I think Wegman is one of those guys that if you did the psychological analysis, I think he'd be quite special.
Did you see it, by the way, speaking of college quarterbacks, there's a mock draft out there that has the Giants taking Drew Aller in the...
Oh, God. Although Drew's been better this year, but
he
still,
has been better.
Like,
but isn't he kind of like Toolsy Daniel Jones? Isn't that like isn't the same?
I mean, Drew Aller, I know that's the same school, whatever. But it's like we're all dumb. He's just new Christian Hackenberg.
He's not. He is not Christian Hackenberg.
Christian Hackenberg was a stud coming out.
Coming out of college, he was bad at Penn State. He was just.
But he was
tools.
Like eight. Like he was fine at Penn State. He looked like a quarterback until the ball was snapped.
Texas A&M -1 over LSU. Next,
Coach. Prime, 9:15 tomorrow. This is just my Big 12 principle. I don't know who should be favored one way or the other, but I know I get one team that can run the football pretty well in Cincinnati. They're catching 6.5. I'll take 6.5. It's 6.5 with Cincinnati at Colorado.
All right. There's some, before I go over these again, there's some that we have not discussed. How about Memphis?
I was close to laying it.
Early game tomorrow, by the way.
I was close to laying it with Memphis. The only thing
that's that line?
17 now, or 17.5, maybe. I was close to laying it with Memphis. The only thing that scares me is that Charlotte under Biff doesn't quit. And so the back door could be open.
How about Alabama, Missouri?
So I was also close to laying it with Alabama. The only thing that I'm worried about is...
Line?
It's right now, it's up to 18 points. So if Drew Pine plays, I might just fire live tomorrow. And I don't really care if the number's that not good because I think Drew Pine's awful.
All right, here we go, folks. Here's the card for this week. UNLV +3.5 against Boise State. That's tonight. Notre Dame -13.5 over Navy. Washington +6 over Indiana. Oklahoma and Ole Miss, go ahead and take under 50 on that one. Arkansas -7 over Mississippi State. A UCF -2.5 over undefeated BYU. Oklahoma State +6.5 over Baylor. Illinois +21.5 over Oregon. Vandy +18.5. Go Doors over Texas. Texas A&M -1 over LSU. Cincinnati +6.5 over Coach Prime and Colorado. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Massive weekend of sports ahead of us, Jeffrey. Get Memphis game again early tomorrow, so make sure you get there early for that one. We got the Grizzlies home opener tomorrow as they take on Orlando after playing Houston tonight. So, Jeffrey, I want to close by bringing up that critical topic, Uncrustables.
Important work, yes.
So the Athletic did a piece where they tried to calculate how many Uncrustables NFL teams
eat per week, correct?
Eat per week and then per year. And basically they've concluded that NFL teams between them eat between 3,600 to 4,300 Uncrustables a week. I will tell you, remember I said one time I was embedded in the Memphis Tiger football team for a couple days? It was back when Norvell was coaching. At halftime, you know what all the players ate?
Uncrustables.
Uncrustables. Mm-hmm. But Uncrustables were only invented. Remember once upon a time I told you that when I was growing up, we didn't have chicken strips, tenders.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders. They didn't exist. They didn't exist. Uncrustables certainly didn't exist. They were invented like in 1999, I think, just in some dude's kitchen decided, you know what? How about we make a better peanut butter? Are you a fan of an Uncrustable?
So I am. These were not a part of my youth, but they were a part of my youngest brother's youth. And
are they the food equivalent of juice boxes, basically?
Like, yeah, that's pretty similar. Like it's.
I mean, you get some carbs, you get some protein.
Yeah, it's like a stack plus. You know what I mean?
In this story, Travis Kelce says there is nothing he eats more of than Uncrustables. They seem kind of disgusting to me.
No, they're pretty good.
It's pretty good. Would you rather have an Uncrustable or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you make at home with your just a like regular old, you know, peanut butter scooped out, jelly scooped out on,
why not
on
have
whatever bread you buy at the grocery?
Part of the Uncrustable is like the convenience of it.
Well, but they're frozen though.
They come frozen. They thaw pretty quickly. Like Josephine's breakfast this morning was an Uncrustable.
Oh, you regularly have Uncrustables.
Oh yeah.
How many Uncrustables do you eat on a given week?
See, that's kind of the problem. It's like, how many do I want to eat versus how many
you would
do
have? That's the other thing. I would think you would, if you eat one, I think you'd want to just sit there and eat
three.
The
problem is, then I'm going to start getting questions from Aaliyah of why are we out of Uncrustables? Correct.
Okay, the other question was grape or strawberry. Evidently, a massive debate about what's the better Uncrustable.
I'm a strawberry guy, but I don't thumb my nose up at it. I would argue both Uncrustables are delicious.
You would happily eat either kind
Correct.
Of Uncrustable?
But I do prefer strawberry jelly.
It is evidently
700 a week by the Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos, I don't know why, like if there's a logic to why.
Well, where's weed legal?
Some teams eat more Uncrustable than others.
I'm just saying, where's weed legal? Denver and Seattle. Huh.
You think that may have something to do with it?
I'm just saying, man, we can't rule it out.
Yeah, I can see the argument there. I don't know that I've ever eaten an Uncrustable. I'll be honest. I do not know that I have ever.
They're delicious.
There, you would sign on for an Uncrustable.
Yes.
All right. Reminder, by the way, NBA is in full swing, and over at FanDuel, all users 3 months on NBA League Pass with any $5 bet on the NBA. That's right. 3 months NBA League Pass free with any $5 bet on the NBA. All you got to do is go to fanduel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to get your 3 months of NBA League Pass. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. World Series starts tonight. Jeffries decided Dodgers. I think I'm going Yankees.
Nice.
Both are kind of despicable, let's be honest. But Andy Fletcher, you can root for Andy Fletcher.
Who's he rooting for?
He will be behind the plate, umpiring his first World Series, and behind the plate in Game 2.
Oh, we also have one little bit of breaking news.
Oh, what's that?
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has cleared concussion protocol and will start Sunday versus the Cardinals. As Jeff mentioned yesterday, that's where this was headed, but it's now official.
All right. Did we say what's coming up next?
Let's do that next. Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sane joins them during hour number one on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Today, we didn't have Eric because he was traveling, but Steve Lennox is going to join me as company. Eric will join us today, as will Blake Topmeyer on the program. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Have a great weekend. Back Monday for Now Work is Done.